Please stand with me. This morning we're going to look at a prayer for our present trouble. It's Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 to 21. If you have a Bible, you want to follow along, that's where we are. If you don't have a Bible or you don't want to follow along in your Bible, we'll have it up here and you can follow along. I'm going to read, if you would like, read along with me. Here we go. When we trust in God, when we trust in Him, we're free to say whatever needs to be said. Bold to go wherever we need to go. So don't let my present trouble on your behalf get you down. Be proud. My response to the present trouble that I'm in is to get down on my knees before the Father, this magnificent Father who parcels out all heaven and earth. I ask Him to strengthen you by His Spirit, not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength for Christ, that Christ would live in you as you open the door and invite Him in. And I ask Him that with both feet planted firmly on love, you'll be able to take in with all followers of Jesus the extravagant dimensions of Jesus' love. Reach out and experience the breadth. Test its length, plumb the depths, rise to the heights, live full lives, full in the fullness of God. God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, His Spirit, deeply and gently within us. Glory to God in the church. Glory to God in the Messiah, in Jesus. Glory down all the generations. Glory through all millennia. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Please have a seat. Last week, we discovered that Paul trusted God. And as he writes these words, when we trust in God, we're free to say whatever needs to be said. We're bold enough to go over wherever we need to go. Well, he's writing that from a jail cell, so he's imprisoned. But Paul's telling us, when we trust in God, we're free to say what needs to be said, which I also assume that means free to not say what does not need to be said. Bold enough to go wherever we need to go. And sometimes that got him into trouble. In this case, he was thrown into jail. And as he was thrown into jail, that caused some people to worry about him. I also think it probably caused some people to be embarrassed. Oh, man, he's in trouble again. You know, why can't he just, like, you know, maybe tone it down a little bit? Like, you know, maybe he doesn't have to be, like, quite as black and white as he is, you know. Maybe he could kind of back off on, you know, the message that he has. You know, sometimes we think that trusting in God means we don't get in trouble. And that's not what this is saying at all. It's saying that we can say all the right things, and we can be bold enough to be in the right place at the right time, and we can still get in trouble. So let's not assume that by trusting in God we won't get in trouble, because that's not the assumption here. There are times when we trust in God, we have this freedom to say what needs to be said. And what Paul, what he's talking about is God is dealing with everybody on the planet equally. There's no more division in humanity. I mean, and what I would not be so far out of line with Paul to say Paul is looking at everybody on the planet now as the chosen people. Everybody. There's not just one nation anymore, Paul is saying. There's a that nation's blessed, but they're blessed in Jesus. As Gentiles are blessed in Jesus, God's working with everybody now. Now, you know, maybe we don't appreciate that, how divided the world was between Jew and Gentile. Or maybe we do, because we have some of that even today. But God's dealing with everybody and giving everybody the same opportunity. And God has all the same promises for everybody, whether they be Jew or Gentile. And that message got Paul in a lot of trouble. And that's why he's in jail here. So it's the right thing to say, and he was saying it in the right place. He was trusting God, and he got in trouble. We should learn from that. Now we, I mean, if it, maybe we're not in trouble for the message, like, you know, maybe we don't have the same message, but I just started to think of the ways that we are in trouble. So we can at least share that with Paul. You know, maybe we're not trusting God to the same degree. You know, maybe we don't have the same freedom that he had. Maybe we're not as courageous. But friends, we're in trouble. And, you know, you probably wish I wouldn't remind you of this. You know, maybe we want Sunday morning. Let's leave the newspaper out of this, okay? I don't want to turn on the news. But the reality is our faith has everything to do with the trouble we're in. And so nationally, economically, you know, we have a debt that can never be paid as a nation. We passed the point of no return. You know, we have high taxes. You know, we're in trouble. And we have big government. Locally, state, federal, it's big. It consumes a lot of money. We've got a lot of greed in our capitalistic system. The system that's supposed to be a free market is a not-so-free market capitalism. And in that is a lot of greed. And we've got a sluggish economy. We're in trouble. You know, financially, economically, we're in trouble. You know, morally, we're in trouble. Look what we're trying to decide as a people. You know, what's marriage? Marriage is between what? Who? What? Huh? I mean, we're debating that. We have this whole thing about contraception. We have this whole debate about health care. You know, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. Then there's hot spots. You go outside of there's hot spots in our world. I don't know if you're reading about Syria, but that would not be a good place to be right now. It's really sad what's going on in Syria. There's fears about Iran. What's going to happen there? So can we all just agree we're in trouble? Paul was in trouble. We're in trouble. His troubles were different than ours, but we're in trouble. So the question is, when we're in trouble, what do we do about that? What did he do about that? What can we learn from Paul? He's in trouble. He admit, I'm in trouble. My faith has gotten me in trouble. I'm in trouble. So what do we do? When we're in trouble, what do we do? Well, he tells us it's a great first response to our present trouble. Paul says, get down on your knees. I mean, if there's nothing else that I could say this morning, it would be this. With all of the troubles we're having economically, morally, in the world, are we a people whose first response to those troubles is to get down on our knees? I mean, he's being quite literal. I mean, he's like saying, like, get on your knees. Now get before your Heavenly Father. Maybe I'm wrong, and you can sure correct me. But I don't think many of us are getting down on our knees. I think we complain a lot. I think we get politically charged, and we, you know, involvement in a political party is a fine thing. But it doesn't do the same thing as getting down on our knees. See, when Paul was in trouble, he got on, he knew exactly what to do. In the first place I need to be is I need to be on my knees. I need to be before my Father. And he's this magnificent Father who has created everything in our universe, heaven and earth, parceled out by him. And I think the message there is, as creative as God has been in this planet, in the present troubles, he's so creative, he can kind of tell us what to do in our trouble. He can create a way out. So that's first response. And the question for me, and the question for us, as an individual follower of Jesus, as a community that says we're following Jesus, when we encounter trouble, are we on our knees, literally, on our knees before our Father? And then Paul gives us two requests. These are really interesting requests in light of where he is. He says, my first request, I ask this magnificent Father to strengthen you, is what he says. Those of you that are concerned about where I am, those of you that are maybe embarrassed about where I am, I'm praying for you. I'm in trouble, and I'm asking that the response would be that you get on our knees and we pray, but I'm praying for you. And I'm asking the Father to strengthen us by His Spirit. Now, I'm going to assume that Paul, as he got down on it, I don't think Paul's asking us to do something that he didn't do. What I'm thinking is that as he is in trouble, as he gets down on his knees, and as he starts praying about the present trouble that he's in, I'm guessing that he is being strengthened by the Holy Spirit. And so he can encourage, you know, when I get down on my knees, I ask the Father to strengthen me from the inside out by the Holy Spirit to face whatever present trouble I'm in. And then I love the description. The Holy Spirit who is strengthening us, it's not a brute strength. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit. It's not muscle man God. It is this glorious inner strength. Something begins to happen within me by the Spirit of God that strengthens me to endure whatever my present trouble is. I mean, Paul can be, he's a guy that can be in jail, he can be beaten, he can be stoned with rocks. And he can kind of have a contentment in that. What are you talking about? I mean, those are troubles. And that Christ, as the Spirit is strengthening us, that Jesus would live in us as we open the door and invite Him in. There's a real key there. In our interior, I mean, we don't have a surgeon, so we can't open up and look in, but the way the Bible describes is that we have an interior, and our interior is larger than what we think it is. And there is some kind of door that we can open or close, and we've been given the freedom, the choice to either open or close that door. And when we're in trouble, just as we would choose, am I going to choose to get down on my knees and pray to my Father? Am I going to choose to invite the Holy Spirit to strengthen me in my present trouble? We also have a choice. Am I going to open the door and invite Jesus into the midst of my life, in the midst of my troubles? Now, what I discover, when I open the door, or my hand's on the door handle, I'm realizing who it is that I'm inviting into my life. It's just not the Savior who loves me and forgives me. He's more than that. He is also the King of all the universe, which means that when I say, would you please come in, I'm welcoming a King, which means I'm no longer in charge. I'm inviting the King of all kings to set up His throne in me. And I know me enough to know that there are things in my life that I'm holding on to that I don't want to let go of, but if I open the door, I am going to have to let go of them. Because he's going to say, you can't hold on to that. Let go of that. You're going to open the door and welcome me in. You're going to have to welcome me in for who I am. I'm the King. I'm your King. Yeah, I love you. I've saved you. But hey, we've moved beyond that, friend. I'm now your master. I'm your Lord. You don't get a vote. But what's really amazing, in the midst of present troubles, when we allow Jesus to enter and to be in charge, then He's the one that can get us out of the trouble, because He takes charge. Then there's a second request. I ask that with both feet planted firmly on love, you'll be able to take in with all followers of Jesus the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. When we're in trouble, what's one of the first things we assume? We have a conclusion. I'm in trouble. God does not love me. I hear myself say it. I hear many people say that. I'm in trouble. God does not love me. Paul is he's in a prison cell. And guess what? In that prison cell, he's not wondering about God's love for him. He's not saying, God, I'm in this trouble because you don't love me. He's saying, I'm in this trouble because you do love me. And he describes the dimensions of God's love, and it's, you know, to the right, to the left, length, east to west is God's love. He's saying up and down, highest place on the planet, lowest place on the planet. He's saying breadth, which is like front, back. What's he describing when he's doing that? He's saying, I'm totally immersed in the love of God. Doesn't matter if I go to the right, to the left, to the east, to the west, to the north, to the south, up, down, everywhere I turn, I'm in the center of God's love. And I'm praying that you would experience immersion in God's love in spite of your troubles. So what is this teaching us? You know, what do we need when we are in trouble? If like Paul, we get in trouble with the message that we're preaching and somebody throws us in jail, if we're living in the year 2012 and we have economic troubles, we have moral problems, we've got international, I mean, what is it? What is it that we need when we are experiencing present trouble? First of all, we need, us, individually, corporately, we need the inner strength of the Holy Spirit. Many times when we have conversation about the Holy Spirit, We focus upon the externals. We focus upon the demonstrations of the Holy Spirit's work in us. It could be the gifting of the Holy Spirit or the ministries of the Holy Spirit. And we don't really pay attention to what is even more important than the externals of the Holy Spirit. It's the inner strength. It's something within that He produces. It's something within a community of people, this strength that only the Holy Spirit, you can't see it. It's invisible. It's inside. But when we're in trouble, we need the inner strength of the Holy Spirit, individually and corporately. We need Jesus living in us. We need Jesus in the center of all that we are, being the Lord that He is. May the dignity and the power of your rule, Jesus, reside right here. Be it, establish your kingdom in me. I welcome. When I'm in charge, when I'm doing my own thing, when it's my kingdom, things are not working well. I'd say the same thing about our community. We want Jesus, I mean, right, like center stage, ruling and reigning, dignity, power, Jesus living amongst us. We need to be immersed in God's love. Well, we need to have the experience that it doesn't matter if I turn to the right, I turn to the left, I go up, I go down, I go there, I go there. Everywhere I go, there's God's love. And whether things are going well for me or things are going bad for me, I am immersed in God's love. God loves me. That should be a settled issue in all of our lives. And then we need other followers. We need other people who have that same strength of the Holy Spirit within, who have Jesus living in them, who are immersed in God's love. We need each other. We can't go through troubles without each other. Many of us have been raised to be silent sufferers. So we have these troubles, and we just, you know, gut it up, put on a smile. We could even come to a gathering like this, and somebody asks, well, how are you? I'm great. I'm fine. Thank you very much. End of conversation. Don't ask me anymore. But we need each other. When things are going bad, when we feel like we're in trouble, we need each other. There's a reason to be together and to share in our struggles. Now, when we do that, you know, when we respond to our present troubles by literally getting on our knees, praying for our Father, we're asking these very specific requests. What's the result of that? Well, Paul tells us what the result is. When we're in trouble and our first response is to pray like he's teaching us to pray, number one, we live full lives. Our lives fill up with the fullness of God. I mean, God is within, strengthening us. Jesus is ruling and reigning, living in us. We have a sense of living in relationship with him in our daily life. We're living full lives. We're doing that together, not just individually. That's a full life. And then he goes on and says, God, doing far more than we could ever imagine or guess or request in our wildest dreams. But what's that telling us? When we're in trouble and we get down on our knees and we pray specific requests like we're being, and then we let God fill our lives up with his presence, then God begins to do far beyond what we could ever imagine. You see, really, the only one that could really get rid of our debt as a nation is God. He could do it. Now you talk about a wild dream. I mean, if you have studied about our national debt, you would know like that is like, are you nuts? I'm nutty enough to believe that there is a God who does far more than we could ever imagine or guess or request. And it's his Holy Spirit working deeply and gently within us. And God begins to do the unimaginable. And when God begins to do the unimaginable, we begin to scratch our head and say, wow, you not only got me out of that present trouble way beyond the expectations that I have, well, then what happens? There's this explosion of praise. Glory. Glory to God in the church. I mean, how many people are singing that song around us? They're really saying, glory to God for the church. Well, God starts filling us up, and we're living in the fullness that he provides, that we're really doing what the Word... I mean, people could really say, glory to God in the church. Glory to God in the Messiah, in Jesus. Glory down all the generations. Glory through all the millennia. I mean, he's looking towards the change of the ages when the future becomes a reality. So the question is, do we want to live this kind of life? Do we want to see God do far more than we could ever imagine with the present troubles that we're in? And do we want to be a people to just explode in praise because of who he is and what he's doing from within us to the world around us? You know, most of the time when we get to this point, my suggestion is let's stand. Guess what? I mean, how do you read this and not do it? Now, some of us may have a medical condition and we can't get down on our knees, because if we got down on our knees, we couldn't get back up. So what do? Well, God understands. You can just kind of lean forward in your chair. That's sort of like kneeling. And if you have the posture in your heart, I mean, gosh, God, I'd love to get down on my knees, but I'm not able to get down on my knees. Physically, I can't do it. You can assume a posture. You know, as a community of people, I don't think we've ever gotten down on our knees together. And this just seems to be like a really appropriate morning to get on our knees together. And as we're down on our knees to ask this magnificent Father to fill us with the Holy Spirit, that we would have the inner strength to face the present troubles that we're in, that we would open the door to Jesus, or even just wrestle. I mean, you may not be ready to open the door to Jesus today. You know, I had to kind of wrestle. I mean, if I was going to teach this, I had to kind of wrestle through this morning. So there were a few tears this morning as I was trying to, am I honestly going to open the door and let you come in, Jesus? Or am I going to fake it? Because I mean, I'm supposed to open the door and let you in. And then together, if we can, you know, if we can get in that place together, we can begin to watch Jesus do more than we could ever ask or imagine. And then we could praise Him. You know, as Paul prayed this prayer, you know, I don't think he was even thinking about his present troubles. There's something, trouble just kind of loses its power when we're on our knees and we're talking to the one that can do something about it. So, may we get on our knees together? Father, you are magnificent. You are our Creator. You've created the heavens and the earth. And together we kneel and ask that you would strengthen us. Strengthen us by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come and fill us as a community. And as you fill us, as you create a place, a sacred place within us, there is a door for us to open and welcome the King of Kings in. Jesus, as one that serves this community, I know that I open the door to you, not just to my own life, but I open the door to my family and to this community of believers. And Jesus, I want you, with your dignity and your power, to rule, to reign, to establish your kingdom in us. I welcome you. And I ask, Holy Spirit, as you create a sacred place, and I ask, Jesus, as you set up your throne within us, I ask that we would begin to experience the full dimensions of the love of God. That we would know the length. That we would know the breadth. That we would know the height. That we would know the depth of the love of God. That we at this moment would be immersed as a people in the love of God. And then, oh Lord, you know our troubles. Individually, corporately, nationally, globally, you know the present troubles that we're in. So strengthen us, Holy Spirit, with that inner strength to face the troubles that we're in. Jesus, as the King ruling from the inside out, take charge. Give us your solutions. Rule and reign. We ask you to do far beyond what we even ask and what we even imagine, what our wildest dreams would be. We ask that you would do that in solving the present troubles that we're in. And finally, we say glory to you. Glory to you in the church. Glory to you in Jesus, our Messiah, the King. Glory to you through all generations until the end, when your kingdom will come in its fullness. Glory to you in all the millennia, in all the ages, in this present age and the age to come. All glory to you. I'm glad that we can do that together. I pray that this will be a prayer that we can pray for each other. Paul was just mindful of other followers in the midst of his troubles. Now, some of you, as we finish this morning, you know, this passage, which is meant to help us with our troubles, may have stirred up, I'm dying. And so if you would like additional ministry, again, just people that come alongside and say, you know, I care about you and I care about the troubles you're in, and so does God, and we can pray together. You know, well, some of us will hang out over here, and we're glad to share in ministry together. For the rest, we may be ready to go. It is a beautiful day. Isn't it a beautiful day? So go live it up and enjoy it in Jesus' name. See you later.